Good morning. I feel like I could just say amen and sit back down. I love that Psalm 100 that Mark started our worship service off with. And then the songs fit so well into that as well. We're going to continue to look at Thanksgiving. I think we've already been doing what Mark read. In verse 4 of Psalm 100 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name." We've been doing that already, and we're going to continue to do that. I want to begin by sharing a story that may be familiar to some of you, but listen as I read. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet. Many people enjoyed reading The Jungle Book. Kipling, unlike many older writers, was able to enjoy his success and his money. Apparently, one day, a journalist approached him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that the money you make from your writing works out to be over $100 a word." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The journalist then reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 note. Now, Mr. Kipling, give me one of your $100 words." Rudyard Kipling looked at the $100 note carefully and then put it in his pocket and said, "Thanks." I wonder if the journalist, had he thought far enough to think what he might say, if he'd have still given him the $100 bill. But I think there's a lot of truth in that. We don't stop to think about it, but thanks and gratitude are $100 words. I came across this list that I decided I'm going to share this morning. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm capable of walking. My huge heating bill, because it means I'm warm. All the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. That lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off early every morning, because it means that I'm alive. Weariness and aching muscles at the end of a day, because it means I've been productive. The art of thanks living, it is gratitude in action. It is thanking God for the gift of life by living it triumphantly. If we're honest with ourselves, probably all of us, or at least most of us, have complained about some of those things on that list. Maybe all of them. Maybe just more than one of them. But think of your own heart this morning. Are you a thankful person? I titled the message this morning, "Hearts of Gratitude." What is in your heart this morning? What are you thankful for this holiday season? And a few of us just expressed some thanks to God for things that we are thankful for. But take a moment and think about your own heart. In those moments when you're by yourself, and you're thankful for something, what is it? Do you ever express gratitude? Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. Do we have hearts filled with gratitude? This is a quote I don't know who from. It was anonymous. "In a sense, gratitude is an expression of modesty. That was a new thought to me. And he continues. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is the same as the word for confession. To offer thanks is to confess dependence. To acknowledge that others have the power to benefit you. To admit that your life is better because of their efforts. That frame of mind is indispensable to civilized society. End quote. I had never thought of thanksgiving as a form of modesty, but I think he's right. It's admitting that we have a need and that we're thankful for having had that need filled. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. Gratitude is the parent of all the other virtues. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. Does it matter if we live our lives gratefully or not? Does it matter if I live my life from a heart of gratitude or from a heart of ingratitude? I'm fine on my own, thank you very much. Does it matter? I want to look at Scripture this morning, and I'm going to be reading quite a number of verses. And I'd like to look at what the Bible has to say about being thankful, expressing gratitude, and expressing ingratitude. I want to begin by reading a story that we're probably all familiar with. And I'd like to look and draw some things from that story. It's the story of the 10 lepers, taken from Luke chapter 17. You can turn there if you care to. I'm going to be reading from the New King James. I'm going to read the story of the 10 lepers. And then I like to look at that story a bit before we take kind of an overview look at Scripture. And I want to look at what the Bible has to say about gratitude and ingratitude. And then apply that to our lives today. Luke chapter 17. I want to begin reading in verse 11 and read through verse 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? And he said to them, to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Jesus is on a trip. He's traveling, and as he enters the town, he sees these 10 guys standing at a distance, probably obviously lepers. They were exiled from the community. And they cry out to him, Jesus, Master, recognizing his authority, recognizing him as someone important, and they don't ask for healing. I thought it was interesting. They simply say, have mercy on us. They assume that he knows what they're asking. I think it's an expression of their belief that he had something he could offer them. But he says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And notice Jesus' response. He doesn't say, Go to the priests and you'll be healed. He doesn't say, be healed of your leprosy. He says, go show yourself to the priests. Which ironically, from the leper's perspective, could have seemed completely absurd. The priests would have been the ones who would have exiled them from the community to start with. The priests were the ones who determined who was clean or unclean. They had already been to the priest at some point in their life. That's why they were exiled. And just taking Jesus' words at face value, they could have thought he was crazy. We've already done that. That's not what we're looking for. Just heal us. Have mercy on us, and you say go to the priest? But look at their response. I think Jesus was testing their obedience, testing their faith and belief in him. And I think he does that to us today as well. Sometimes I feel, and probably you feel as well, that there's things that maybe you're supposed to do that really don't make any sense. You wonder why you're doing it. And looking back, once you're down the road a ways in life, you can see that it did make some sense. The lepers were up against one of those scenarios. God said, go show, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. And they went. It says they turned and went and were healed as they went. God did heal them, but they had to prove their obedience and faith in him. And upon seeing that they were healed, nine of them continued with what they were told to do. Go show yourself to the priests. Nine of them continued and did just that, as far as we know. But one turned around and came back. He couldn't contain himself. When he saw that he was healed, he came, and he was no longer far off. He ran up to Jesus, threw himself on the ground at his feet, and he worshiped. Thank you. Thank you for healing me. It says he did it with a loud voice. I'm guessing the others would have heard him, probably wondered why he turned around and went back. But only one went back. And Jesus' response to his praise, to his worship, and his thanks was to say, where are the other nine? Were there not 10 of you that I healed? You do the math. That's a 10% thankfulness rate. 10% of the people that he healed came back. And I wonder, and I'm trusting that more than 10% of us here this morning have hearts of gratitude for what God has done for us. I'm trusting and believing that we are part of that 10% from this story. But I thought it's interesting, too, Jesus' response then. He says, after questioning where the other nine are, and he says, to top that all off, he said, the one that came back is a foreigner. He's not even one of our people. The other nine were apparently Jews that he had healed, and they didn't come back. But the outcast of the Jewish community, the Samaritan, came back and was thankful. And Jesus says to him, go, arise. Go your way. Your faith hath made you well, or hath saved you. Essentially, if you look back to the root meanings of the words, essentially what he said is, you were all healed, but your faith has just saved you. Where were the other nine? Three things jump at me from this story. The first one is God's incredible power. God's incredible ability to provide. It's astounding when God does one miracle. God did 10 instantaneously right here. Upon their obedience to Jesus' command, 10 people were healed, just like that. And God, we serve the same God. Jesus is still alive. The incredible power to provide that God has. The second thing that jumped at me was the extreme minority that were found grateful. It was an incredibly small percentage. I'm sure the others were glad to be healed. They were probably grateful in their hearts. I believe they were, and I believe that they had full belief that God had the power to heal. And I think we have that validated by the fact that they were healed. But they didn't come back and express that. You here this morning may be a thankful person in your heart, but do you express it? Do I express it? God wants us to express our thanks. And we're going to see that as I read Scripture here shortly. The third thing is that a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, can come from an unlikely source. I already mentioned that the Samaritan was the minority, the outcast. And it's easy for us as people to look at those around us and without even realizing, sometimes we can categorize or put people in boxes as we perceive them. We can't do that. We have no idea what all goes on in that heart, what God has done in their lives. The person that we tend to put in a box may be the most grateful person that you've ever met. And they may be humble enough, back to where we started, they may be humble enough to voice that thanksgiving. What was it about the leper who returned that was different? Why was he the one who was willing to come back and vocalize his thanksgiving? I want to look at a number of scriptures. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly, and I just ask you to listen as I read them. But I'd like to look at gratitude from Scripture. Was gratitude important? Or living a life of thanksgiving, was it important? And how should it affect my life? What areas of my life should it affect? Or is it something that I'm supposed to feel inside and that's the end of it? Listen as I read. Oh, before I go any further, following that, we're going to switch to ingratitude. Does it matter if we're a people that are ungrateful? Or that don't, maybe we're thankful in our hearts, but we don't express it. And then I want to look briefly also at how should we respond to ingratitude towards us as people and towards God. But gratitude from Scripture first. The Bible says that thankfulness is good. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is commanded. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. 1 Chronicles 16, 8. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. That's vocalizing. That's not staying just in our hearts. That's expressing it. Thankfulness is to be from a free will. Leviticus 22, verse 29. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. We're commanded to do it, but we're told to do it voluntarily. Do it from a heart that really feels that gratitude. We're supposed to be thankful in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Be thankful in personal worship. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. We're to be thankful in corporate worship. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. We're to be thankful for food. John 6, verse 23, speaking of Jesus. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Supposed to be thankful for other people. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do we do that? When your fellow brother or sister from church comes to your mind, do you thank God for them? Maybe you're even frustrated with them at that point. Do you thank God for that person and the opportunity that they are availing to you to grow? We're to be thankful for blessings. Luke 17, verse 16. It's from the story I just read. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was thankful for what God had done for him. We're to be thankful for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I invite you to join me in reading that back. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's say that one more time. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And Jesus is an indescribable gift. I don't think we can fully grasp all that he means to us. But when we grasp those pieces of what he means to us, I think it fills our hearts with gratitude. It has to. We're to be thankful to others. Romans 16, verse 4. Who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. What I see here from just the few brief scriptures that I read, there's a host of others. I was picking and choosing from, I have no idea how many verses in the searches that I had done. But what I see is a lifestyle of being thankful, of living out of a heart of gratitude, and being willing to verbalize that for the things that I mentioned, to the people that I mentioned. That's just a brief overview. That's far from the beginning and the end of where this list could go. But I want to switch now and look at a little bit of what the scripture has to say about ingratitude. In the last times, we're told that there's going to be ingratitude. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on in the following verses, but I'm going to stop. Notice that unthankful is included in that list of, in some cases, it seems like atrocities. That's quite a list, and unthankful is included. And we know from Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that we will be held accountable. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're going to be held accountable if we live our lives as ungrateful people. If we live our lives from hearts filled with ingratitude and essentially with pride because we're unwilling to humble ourselves and give thanks where thanks is due. So how should we respond from Scripture? How should we respond to ingratitude? Three things, these are just three that I picked out that I want to mention quickly. The first is prayer. Psalm 109, verse 4. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Prayer is a proper response to ingratitude. Maybe you've been helping someone who seems eternally ungrateful for what you've done for them. We're called to prayer. Faithfulness is another one that I believe Scripture calls us to in the face of ingratitude. Without reading the story for lack of time, the story of Jacob and how he had served Laban in Genesis chapter 31, verses 38 through 42. He served Laban honestly and with respect, even though Laban had treated him in some ways that were less than honorable. He served him for 14 years for his two daughters, and he goes on and on in that passage about the way that the things that he has done and the opportunities to cheat Laban that he had passed up, that he had not taken. Yet he remained faithful. Remained faithful in the face of ingratitude. And the third one that I want to point out is a persevering love. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. And Paul says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." He had a love for God's people that was persevering. Even though he felt himself being loved less and less, he kept loving them all the more. He was still thankful for them. And they, by rights, should have been thankful to God for him. So from Scripture, does it matter this morning if you have a heart of gratitude? If you vocalize your thanksgiving, does that matter? Yes, it does. It mattered to Jesus. He lived his life. I could have spent a couple of sermons just looking at areas of Jesus' life that expressed gratitude and the many times that he did. He was constantly thanking God for providing, thanking God for allowing certain things to happen so that people could understand. At one place in Scripture, and I'm not recalling the reference, but he essentially says, "God, thank you for letting this happen. Even though I knew already, thank you for showing them." In his book, Jumping Hurdles, Hitting Glitches, and Overcoming Setbacks, Steve Brown writes, "The most unhappy person in the world is not someone who didn't get what he or she wanted. The most unhappy person in the world is the one who got what he or she wanted and then found out that it wasn't as wonderful as expected." And he goes on to say, "The secret of a happy life is not to get what you want, but to learn to live with what you have." And I have found that to be true in my life. The things that can look so green on the other side of the fence, if you bring them onto your side of the fence, they don't look as green. Somehow the grass turns brown. Most of us spend our lives concentrating on what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. And every one of us here this morning, irregardless of our bank accounts, are a very blessed people. No exceptions. Every one of us, just to be living in America, in a free country, and the list could go on and on and on. We're blessed, but do we live our lives out of hearts of gratitude? One of the things that stirred in my heart to get this message started when I was studying was, why is it? What is it about me that I can think sometimes that I'm deserving of anything? I don't recall the scenario I found myself in anymore, but it was probably a month ago. I was just struck with the thought, why do I think I'm deserving of anything? I'm not deserving of anything except death. And God spared us that through Jesus. But what is it about us as people that causes us to think at times that, hey, I deserve that, or I don't deserve the scenario I find myself in? As ugly as it may seem, I think it's our pride. It's our unwillingness to humble ourselves and to admit that we need. To admit that we... to confess dependence. It's not fun to confess our dependence and our need of others, but that's where God wants us. That's where a heart of gratitude is going to be. Humble and willing to say, thank you. I needed you in whatever way that happens to be. We're in the Thanksgiving season. This is the week of Thanksgiving. And I know we'll be looking at having a special Thanksgiving service again next Sunday. But as we go through the week, I challenge you to be willing to take a look at your own life, at your own heart, and look for areas that God may want to change you from a heart of ingratitude to gratitude. Because if we're honest, at least I know from my experience, I had areas, and I probably still have, I may not be able to see them all, areas of ingratitude in my heart. And God convicted me of that as I was studying and as I was thinking of preaching this message. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's there in all of us, because the heart of ingratitude is pride. I challenge you to live from a heart of gratitude. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being an all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, and the list could go on, God. And yet, you care about each one of us. Thank you for sending Jesus and making the Christian life possible and for making it worthwhile. Thank you for loving us, even though we don't deserve it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.